It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Back in July of 2015, Jim Steinle testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Unfortunately, due to disjointed laws and basic incompetence on many levels, the U.S. has suffered a self-inflicted wound in the murder of our daughter by the hand of a person that should have never been on the streets of this country. I say this because the alleged murderer is an undocumented immigrant who has been convicted of 7 felonies in the U.S. and already deported 5 times. Yet in March of this year, he was released from jail and allowed to stay here freely because of those legal loopholes.
The 2015 murder of Jim Steinle's daughter, Catherine, by an immigrant in the U.S. illegally, served as a catalyst for what would become known as Kate's Law, legislation imposing tougher penalties on deportees who re-enter the United States. The stories of family members with loved ones who were the victims of violence perpetrated by illegal immigrants became a key feature of President Trump's campaign. Kate Steinle's story was featured at the Republican National Convention in July, along with other similar stories. Family members who spoke under a banner that read, Victims of Illegal Immigration. Now, on Thursday, the House voted to pass Kate's Law and the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, which cracks down on so-called sanctuary cities. But behind these individual tragedies, there's data to suggest that immigrants in the country illegally don't commit crimes any more than American citizens do. Tom Holman, the acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, acknowledged as much in an off-camera briefing at the White House this week. Randy Capps is director of research of U.S. programs at the Migration Policy Institute. Randy, welcome.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your program.
And let's drill down on Kate's Law for a moment. What exactly does it do?
It increases the penalties in terms of federal prison time for people who re-enter the country illegally.
So people who are scooped up here, deported, and then they come back, in other words.
That's correct. And they get essentially up to 2 years of prison time if they re-enter illegally, regardless of whether or not they have committed any other crime. And they get a lot more time than that, starting at 10 years, if they've committed a felony or a series of misdemeanors additionally.
Is there evidence that what Kate's Law does through legislation would help prevent the kind of tragedies that his family faced when his daughter was murdered?
Well, it's hard to say because in that particular case, you know, the murderer was released wrongly from federal prison, and snafus like that can always happen. I think what this bill does more broadly is to just increase the federal prison time as a disincentive for anyone who's been in the country without authorization to try to enter again illegally.
Well, part of that question then is what were deportation policies before this? Somebody like Kate's assailant or similar people presumably were subject to deportation before.
He was. He would have been a very high priority under the Obama administration because of the multiple felonies that he had. And again, the situation is that he happened to slip through the cracks. I don't think there's any disagreement between the political parties or among people on either side of the immigration issue that someone like him should have been deported and not allowed to come back.
Let's talk about the data that I mentioned a little bit, whether or not illegal immigrants in the United States are more likely to commit violent crime. What do we know?
Well, we know that their incarceration rate is lower. We don't know a whole lot more than that because it's very hard to survey people on criminal behavior and also very hard to get at their immigration status in those surveys. But there's certainly no hard evidence to suggest they're any more likely to commit serious crimes than anyone else.
In terms of policy, do you see this as an area of immigration law or one of preventing murders, like the police?
Law enforcement officials have come down on both sides of this. Some law enforcement officials, some police chiefs and sheriffs have said that if you're going to put everyone in the unauthorized population at risk of deportation, then immigrants are not going to cooperate with their investigations, and that puts more people at risk. And then there are other law enforcement officials that say, because somebody's here in the first place without authorization, that they've already committed a crime and that somehow makes them more prone to commit other crimes. Also, there's a theory of policing that people who commit minor violations may later on commit more serious violations. And so I just think there's a lot of disagreement in the law enforcement community over what the right approach is.
These two bills passed by the House, Kate's Law and the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, really two small parts of a much, much larger debate over immigration and immigration reform in this country. How do they fit into the larger debate, and are they likely to become law on their own?
It doesn't seem that the Senate would pass these bills because the Senate already rejected Kate's Law. And yesterday, the House vote was more strongly in favor of Kate's Law than the anti-sanctuary bill. But I would say the anti-sanctuary bill is a bigger change from current policy. Right now, there are cities and states that don't place detainers. They don't hold people for extra time because the federal immigration authorities want to deport them. And in some cases, they don't share information about them. And this anti-sanctuary bill would have a lot more teeth. And I think, you know, that would change a situation for immigrant communities in several major cities like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles considerably if it passed.
Randy Capps, Director of Research for U.S. Programs at the Migration Policy Institute. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you so much.